So what is this system of spiritual discipline? Well, I suppose most of you are already pretty familiar with it because you're doing it. You've probably been doing it for years. If you want to look at a detailed exposition of it, I would also recommend, like we heard this morning, Sabutis Sangharakshita. This has it all in detail, including lots of quotes from Bhante. Another source, though, which is a much shorter thing, which sort of shows you the stages of the system in principle, is a short passage inside the Guide to the Buddhist Path, this one, which is called A System of Meditation, A System of Meditation, by Bhante. It's the basic talk that he gave to the order. And in that one, in the System of Meditation, Bhante says the different methods of meditation current in the order link up into an organic living system. And he goes into that system, and I'm going to be talking about that today. And he extends this system beyond meditation into all parts of life, particularly in the Precious Garland seminar. And I'll give you some of the quotes from that on a handout sheet. Also, the various quotes that I'm using in this talk, I'll give you on the handout sheet. You don't need to try and jot them all down. So what it does, this system, in the Atharvayoga, is it grows out of going for refuge, of course, doesn't it? And it reaches higher and higher levels, and it does so through five great stages. Five great stages. The five great stages of the spiritual path. And this is what I'm going to spend most of this talk going into. And my explanation is based mainly on this seminar on the Precious Garland, a work by Nagarjuna, which Bhante gave over 20 years ago. And I've got for you, as a bonus, for each one of the stages, I've got a non-Buddhist quote, just to give a slightly different angle. And as an even bigger bonus, I've got a rhyming sequence of mnemonics for remembering the stages. Actually, when you hear them, you probably won't think that's a bonus at all. You'd rather I hadn't mentioned them. But we'll see, anyway. So what's the first one? And remember, this is my own understanding of it from reading the seminar. I'm not going to just read out the seminar. I'm going to give you my own understanding. And also from talks given by Vasantra, who's made a bit of a speciality of studying the sequence of the five stages. The first one, what is it? The stage of recollection. The stage of recollection. The process involved in this stage and the effect of it is what you might call self-gathering, integration. It's recollecting, it's attending. Yeah, that's what you're doing. And the practices that you use are all the practices of awareness, the practices of mindfulness. Also, the practices whereby you simplify your life, the practices of renunciation and ethics. These all fit in with this first great stage. And as a result of following this stage, you become mindful and aware, you become integrated. Okay, and here's the quote. I hope that these quotes, I like them, you may not like them, but we'll see. Here's the quote I've chosen from the Western tradition. Shall we choose to pull ourselves together, fight against slumber, and keep a balance on the dividing line between the conscious and the unconscious, still sufficiently governed by the unconscious to feel it swell, raising us up, but also firmly enough sustained by the conscious not to let ourselves slip back? Then, on the crest of that wave, if we are attentive, we shall see the emergence of the nocturnal half of ourselves. That's from a French writer, Suzanne Lila. The second stage. So that's the first one, the stage of recollection. The second stage, the stage of positivity, or even the stage of love. And the process involved here is becoming increasingly, continuously positive and aware of others. Which that wasn't really mentioned in the first stage. And this is what happens in the second stage. What are the practices that you do? Practices involving engagement, involving effort in thinking of others and cultivating the skillful, because you need to do this. And in both cases, they're done in a dualistic framework. You think of others so that you're not so obsessed with yourself. You cultivate the skillful so that you can overcome the unskillful. And also longing for the goal, cultivating longing for the goal, devotion, attention to beauty, meditation in general, and the Brahma Viharas in particular, the Metta Bhavana and so on. So this is what's involved in the stage of positivity. And as a result of this stage, you become positive, you become inspired, you become full of life, you get into higher states of consciousness, to the extent you manage, of course. Both of these stages so far, these are only the first two of the five, they're both very, very demanding. Here's my quote. Sympathetic love, while it certainly doesn't allow one to become another person, does cause one to concentrate one's attention upon them. The relationship of a sympathizer towards a sufferer is not that of an onlooker, but of one disturbed to a degree where his own self becomes less and less attended to, and the needs of the other dominate the feelings he has. The focus of the mind is moved to take in something of the awareness of another. His actual knowledge of love or sympathy is not mental and verbal, a matter of belief, but a function of his whole being, his experience, and so it is a matter of faith. And this is a commentator on the works of William Blake. So that's the stage of positivity. Third, the stage of openness. The process in the stage of openness is opening to reality by letting go. And the practices that you do in order to open to reality and let go are a full renunciation of the old self, your old self, and of your false refuges, opening to reality through insight meditation practices. As a result, what do you become? You become empty, you become open, you become awake, you become realistic. And I think that another aspect of this level of opening to reality is just sitting in actual awareness, and also aesthetic appreciation, useless aesthetic appreciation, as Bhante talks about it in one of the old seminars. And Bhante says this stage is a spiritual death. It's a death of the old, limited self. And the quote here is from Goethe. I praise what is truly alive, what longs to be burnt to death. In the calm water of the love nights. This is a poem, by the way, that's why it sounds poetic. In the calm water. I think I better start again, sorry. I praise what is truly alive, what longs to be burnt to death. In the calm water of the love nights, a strange feeling comes over you when you see the silent candle burning. Distance does not make you falter. Now, arriving in magic, flying, and finally insane for the light, you are the butterfly, and you are gone. And so long as you haven't experienced this, to die and so to grow, you are only a troubled guest on the dark earth. So long as you haven't experienced this, to die and so to grow, you are only a troubled guest on the dark earth. That's from a poem, it's not the whole of it, it's from a poem called The Holy Longing by Goethe. Fourth, the stage of renewing. The process in this fourth stage is gradual transformation as the reality that you've seen is contemplated and the contemplated reality affects every aspect of your being. And the practices that you do are practices that align you with reality by sitting in its presence. For example, visualization, mantra recitation type practices. And also deliberately altering every aspect of your life in line with insight, as in the Eightfold Path, or the Transcendental Eightfold Path. And it's interesting, in the Pali Canon, you are at last called a trainee who's entered the path of training once you're a stream entrant. You're a shiksa once you're a stream entrant. That's when you enter the Eightfold Path in its full transcendental aspect. That's the language the Pali Canon uses. So as a result of this stage, what do you become? You become a purely spiritual being. You become a bodhisattva. You become a Buddha. You become creative. And this stage of openness, the previous stage, the one of openness, that might have seemed like a sudden illumination. But the truth has to sink in gradually. It has to percolate in. It has to soak into your whole being. And this is true on low levels as well as on this complete level. And the quote from Anais Nin is, "There are very few human beings who receive the truth complete and staggering by instant illumination. Most of them acquire it fragment by fragment, on a small scale, by successive developments, cellularly, like a laborious mosaic." So I like that image of the laborious mosaic. It's as if, okay, you've got the colours, you've got the overall form, you've got some sort of an insight, but you've got to laboriously place each little coloured tile in its place. And there's a long process involved. So these, those are the first four. And now is the fifth one. What's the fifth one? I mean, you're a Buddha by the fourth one. So what is the fifth one going to be? Well, I suppose that's maybe obvious. The fifth one is the stage of spontaneous compassionate action. And there's virya here, but it's virya which is spontaneous. It's creative. It's world-changing. This stage is what you do, in a sense, after you're enlightened. So you can see it's a very comprehensive path. It goes right from right this moment, practicing mindfulness, positive emotion, right to what you do after enlightenment. But as we'll see, it's also all stages are relevant to the here and now. It's directly relevant to us. And the relevance of this stage of the path, this last stage, compassionate activity, I've got from a quote from Theodore Zeldin, who's a historian. He says, "The favourite instrument for dealing with danger used to be magic, which controlled the meeting of the invisible with the visible, and what it brought was fear. Today, love is the magic that most people believe in when two strangers meet and discover they cannot live except in each other's arms, which also brings fear, the fear of losing love. The small family based itself on this magic. However, there is a third kind of magic, as well as, you know, magic and the magic of love. There's a third kind of magic in which an individual can make a difference to the way the world revolves by helping another individual without asking anything in return, without offending pride, without curtailing freedom, being purely and simply generous." So these are the five stages, as taught by Bhante, but as we'll see in a minute, based on the tradition. The stage of recollection, of positivity, of openness, of renewing, and of spontaneous compassionate action. And each of them, in a way, has its own goal. You know, you may find that you prefer one of them as your sort of model for the spiritual life. The goal of the first one is to become fully aware and integrated. And that's quite an achievement, isn't it? Fully aware and integrated. The second one, to be positive and happy. That's quite an achievement. The third one, to see reality. That is quite an achievement. The fourth one, to develop all qualities, all human qualities. And the fifth one, to benefit everybody. And here, I'm going to cringe a little bit here, but this is just in case it helps you to remember, this is the rhyming list of the five, yes? Knowing, outgoing, letting going, growing, and overflowing. Letting going is a bit awkward, isn't it? But I couldn't think of anything else. Knowing, outgoing, letting going, growing, and overflowing. I've got them down on the handout sheet I'll give you tomorrow.